I was going to ask about the various approaches to introducing and integrating a new university into an established community, and how would you characterize the appearance of the instant university in Burnaby?
Its physical appearance?
Yes, that it suddenly appeared on the top of the mountain.
It suddenly appeared. Well, it opened to students in 1965, and I arrived at the summer of 1966, or at the end of the summer, in time for the fall semester. At that time, what had been built was the main stem, the mall, with the library, which is not as high as it is now, but the first six floors were built. There was a theater across the open mall with the glass roof over top of the mall. That stem extended west to include the transportation center as it is now, where the buses come through. And the gymnasium had been built, and I think the football field was in place. At the other end, on the eastern side, you went up the steps, and they were in place to the quadrangle, but the quad was not finished. So three sides had been finished, and my office was on the western side, right in the middle, looking over the mud pit that was inside the quad at the time, and they were working on the fourth side, the east side of the quad. So that was all going to be new. It was the wilderness side of the campus, so to speak. The science complex, which is the south side of the quad, was there in nascent form, the beginning of the three buildings for the three main subjects, which are physics, chemistry, and biology. They were in place, but nothing on the north side had been built. That came about 5 years later, and my own department, along with education and psychology, were moved into that complex, which is now known as the R.C. Brown Building and the Education Building.
I guess my question was more about, because you were saying that there was just this empty space on the top of the mountain. And in fact, what was the site essentially a blank slate without history or traditions relevant to the founding of the university?
No, there were trees on it, and they had to mow the trees down before they started to build the complex.
Yes.
But there is one echo of that in answer to your question, and there is a plaque up on the quad to acknowledge the fact that years later it was discovered that there were properties already surveyed up there for private residences, mm-hmm. which had been forgotten at the time the university was first built. And I don't know if it was the university or the Provincial Department of Education or whoever it might have been, approached those families, and they donated the land to the university, which had already been built on their land.
Oh, isn't that
And there is a brass plaque telling that story.
Yes. Yes, I guess in the 1911-1912 era, there was kind of the Wild West of real estate development, and there were subdivisions developed or laid out on mm-hmm. Burnaby Mountain mm-hmm. that were never developed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what I'm wondering, though, is that quite often when a university or a college is introduced into a new community, there's some preparation work to make sure that the university is integrated. I could be mistaken about that.
My impression is that there was no particular dictatorial thing. The Sucre government under W.A.C. Bennett said, we want a new university. They appointed Dr. Schrum from UBC to be the first chancellor, said, you go and do it. So he did it. He said, right, we've got our choices. We'll take this one, bring in the bulldozers and start.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure they didn't start even before the legislation was passed.
Yeah. Well, you know, in some ways, I lived in the West Kootenays for many years. And during the W.A.C. Bennett era, that was when the Columbia Basin Treaty Dams mm-hmm. were built. And essentially, it was a just like SFU, it was a big project, and it was imposed on the community. Mm-hmm. I think many people agreed that it seemed like a good project, but the values of the community were essentially ignored. Was this something that was going to come back?
Well, not really, because as you said, part of the east western slope had been laid out, and there were some streets. They've since disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there were a few houses, very isolated spots. But they were not actually affected by where the university was located. So until the 1990s, which is when the land claim issue was resolved between the city and the university, until then, those people were unmolested. So it was not like any squatters were evicted to build the university. And that was partly an accident of just the geography of the mountain. So there was no cause celeb. If there had been evictions, I'm sure that would have been an issue because the university teemed with activists. Again, part of the town and gown story relates to some radical currents at the university. There were teaching assistants who were fired for going into high schools and doing political agitation in 1967, 68. So there's no established model that could explain what happened in terms of the relationship between the community and the university.
Well, it took many years before the two actually came to terms with each other's existence. Yeah.